Acts chapter 4. We're going to stand and read responsively the first 12 verses. Acts chapter 4, I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, so on through 12. Okay? And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them.
Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead.
And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide.
Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000.
And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes,
and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem.
And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this?
Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel,
if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole,
be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before whom you hold.
This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby must be saved.
Let's pray. Father, take your word and apply it to every life here. If someone is lost in this room, they're headed for hell, I pray, dear God, you will touch their hearts and give them repentance unto life. Lord, I pray for all the believers. Oh, God, may we understand your word. May we be moved by your word. May we, Lord, recognize the power of the name of Jesus Christ and the honor that ought to be given to it. Give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And I'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. I want to talk to you about the name of Jesus today. We have a lot of names in religion. We have Lutherans because of a man named Luther. We have Methodists because of a man named Wesley. We have a lot of different denominations of various names, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, and whatever. And it's amazing how you can read the Bible and you want to follow along with the doctrine of whatever you're a part of. And so you overlook so many things. Right here is a chapter just filled with the name of Jesus. Filled with the name of Jesus. Now, we didn't read all of it. I'm going to hit several verses that we didn't read. But I want you to know the name of Jesus is the most important name there is. I don't go out as a visitor for this church. I go out in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I've done that in the past. But you see, I began to look at the Bible and to see what it said on the name of Jesus. After a while, it was just so important and so outstanding that I just had to honor that name. That's why the sign's the way it is out in the front. This is the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meetings are held here in his name. It's in his name. Now, notice in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's not any other name. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you're going to go to heaven, you're going to go to heaven because you call on Jesus Christ. Amen. If you decide not to call on Jesus Christ, you're not going to make it to heaven. If you don't repent of your sins and call upon God to forgive you of your sins and take him as your substitute, as your Savior, as your sacrifice, there is no heaven for you. And there's only two places to go, heaven or hell. It's Jesus or it's nothing. If you don't come through Jesus Christ, you do not have an entrance. God said if you don't honor the Son, you don't get to see the Father.
Amen.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Man, that's clear. Now, the apostles were preaching in the name of Jesus Christ, and they went up to the temple. As they were going up to the temple, here was a man that had been laying there for 35 or 40 years. He was about 40 years old, I think. And he asked an alms. He was born crippled. So what could he do to help his family? Well, he could beg a little bit. And especially if somebody's going up to the temple, you'd think they'd be a little more generous. You would think, that's not always true, you would think that a believer would be more generous than maybe an unbeliever. So setting him at the temple was a pretty good place to set him to draw alms. Peter said, silver and gold I don't have. How about that? You can't say that. You got a monthly income. You got plenty of money. You got waste money. You got throwaway money. Your garage is full of it. Amen? It's amen or oh me. He said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I'll give you. Stand up and walk. And he leaped up, walking, leaping, praising God. People had seen him in front of that temple year after year after year. Now all of a sudden he's running and leaping and jumping and praising God. And the guys began to preach. I mean, they had a crowd. What do preachers do when they get a crowd? They preach out in the street, right in the temple door, whatever. And they did, but it did not make the people running the temple happy. And so they began to try to do something to stop these fellows from preaching in the name of Jesus. Now, what I want you to see in chapter 4, basically, is that they preached. Now, what did they preach? What was the name they preached in? Well, let's look at it. In verse 7, when they'd set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? And Peter down in verse 10 says, be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. What name did you do this in? Jesus. That's the name. That's the greatest name in history. That's the greatest name in the world. That's going to be the most honored name throughout the entire history of all civilization. It's Jesus Christ. Now, it says in verse 12 what I read before, neither is there salvation in any other. How are you going to be saved? By your good works? Are you that good? Now, I've met some people, especially some young people, young girls, and they don't think they're sinners. They haven't drank, smoked, run around, committed fornication, whatever. They don't even think they need somebody. I talked to a teacher that was working with me. She was my student teacher, and I witnessed to her personally. And she said, I'm not a sinner. I don't need a Savior. Well, now, if any of you in here think you're not a sinner, you're mistaken. And let me tell you something. You need a Savior.
Amen.
You're not good enough to go into heaven. I don't care how good you are. You can be the very best person in this room. But that still doesn't make you perfect. And what God demands is perfection. And you know where perfection is found? In Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One man, the second Adam, was born without sin and without the sin nature because he had the blood of God in his veins. And he walked this earth without ever sinning. Now, if he'd ever sinned, he couldn't be our sacrifice. You see, it had to be a perfect substitute. You notice that lamb in the Old Testament? First year, young, strong, healthy, no blemish. You couldn't bring up a sickly lamb to offer. That would be an insult to God. Jesus is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world.
Amen.
So that's the name. Look at verse 17. But that it spread no further, these are the priests, among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. They weren't worried about somebody preaching. They didn't like the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something today. You know what name they'll cuss you for? You know what name they'll criticize you for? You know what name they'll stop you for? Jesus.
Amen.
They'll teach the Muslim religion, but you can't teach Christianity. You can teach religion, but boy, stay off of the name of Jesus Christ. They don't like the name of Jesus Christ. They're afraid of the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a very powerful name.
Amen.
Here this man was healed. Some people were raised from the dead. Multitudes repented and called upon Jesus Christ, got their sins forgiven and their souls saved, and their lives changed and their future eternity changed. Praise the Lord. So verse 17, look at verse 30. Look at verse 29 and 30. And now behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness may they speak thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. These men that we call the apostles, these men that wrote this Bible, the doctrine of the apostles, that's what the New Testament is. So if you believe in the doctrine of the apostles, you believe the New Testament that these men wrote. They were threatened because they did want to preach in the name of Jesus. They were out preaching in the name of Jesus, and the authorities that were there were trying to stop them. And here they are threatening them. Well, what did they do? Well, they went ahead and preached anyway, despite their threatenings, and they asked God, they prayed to God, that he would do signs and wonders by the name of Jesus Christ. So, they preached. Chapter 4, and bless your heart, I'm not giving you all the verses, I'm giving you a few just to be representative of what the Bible teaches. It's a lot of more places in the Bible where they preached in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what name did they preach in? Jesus was the name they were lifting up and preaching in. Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 40. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. The Bible says they suffered. Why did they suffer? Well, let's read it. And to him they agreed when they had called them the apostles and beaten them. They commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus. What's their problem? Quit preaching in the name of Jesus. They commanded them they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I love it. I love it. A lot of people have suffered for the name of Jesus. I've been insulted. I've had a few things done to me. I've had a lot of lies told about me for the name of Jesus. But around the world, there are people today that are dying because they won't turn loose of the name of Jesus Christ. There are people that are getting saved where they're going to be removed from their family. When I got saved, it rejoiced my dad and my mother. It didn't split me from my family. I didn't lose anybody in my family when I got saved. But I've known some people who've lost all their family. Family's important to me. I love my family. It's very, what you were preaching on this morning, you build your family and it'll come back to you with a blessing. You neglect it, it'll come back to you with a curse. That's the truth. Right here, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That's what God wants us to do. These men suffered for the name of Jesus, and they thought it was an honor that they could suffer for the name of Jesus. Now, that's a little bit different than the attitude of some of you when somebody decides not to be your friend anymore.
Amen.
You feel all bad and you cry for 3 months and complain. You haven't suffered very much, but a lot of people have suffered a whole lot for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, they prayed. Look, if you will, at John chapter 14. Verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name. How do you pray? In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What has authority in heaven? Your name? The name of Jesus. Not only for salvation, but for answer to prayer. Who has the authority? Who has the merit to get prayers answered in heaven? Not you. Not me. Jesus. When I go and pray, I'm not basing it on my merit, my works, my life, how good I am. No, 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 no. When I walk up before the Lord at the throne of mercy, I go there in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's who you pray. In the name of Jesus. It says in verse 13, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Look at chapter 15, verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Thank you, Lord.
And ordained you. You should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father, in my name, He may give it you. That's the name we pray in. That's the name that has authority in heaven. That's the name that has merit. That's the name that can get answers to prayer. It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wonderful, wonderful thing. They prayed, they suffered, they preached in the name of Jesus. Well, let's go to Matthew 28:19 to a very famous verse most of you know very, very well. What about baptism? Well, here's what Jesus left as the Great Commission. Verse 18 of chapter 28 of Matthew. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Very interesting passage of Scripture. Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. Not names. Name, singular. What is the name, singular? Is Father a name? No, I'm a father, but my name's Lindell. Is son a name? I'm a son. But that's not my name. My name's Lindell. And Holy Ghost? That's not a name, that's a description. What is the name? Let me ask you this. Do you think the apostles understood what He asked them to do? Do you think when they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God and they began to do their ministry and they began to go out and preach, do you think they obeyed Jesus when He gave them this command? Do you believe He did? I believe they did. Now, I'm going to give you just a few, but you can find more if you want to hunt them up. Turn, if you will, first of all, to Acts 2:38. Here's Peter preaching. A lot of people get saved. I mean, he's preaching in the power of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost has fallen on these people. They are doing the will of God as He wanted them to do it. What does Peter say? Verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Yeah, Jesus. Jesus is the name. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Do you think Peter is full of the Spirit of God in Acts 2? Yes, he is. Do you think he's preaching with power? Do you think he understood what Christ commanded him to do in Matthew 28? Yes, he did. And what did he say? The name of Jesus. Baptism is in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Just like praying is in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Just like preaching is in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Baptism is the name of Jesus. Jesus is the name, the only name you know of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In fact, Colossians 2:9 tells you one great, tremendous verse. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Wow. The name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's look at another one. How about Acts chapter 8, verses 12 and 16? Look at this. Philip is preaching, and he's having a great revival. In verse 12 of Acts 8, when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. That name has power. Don't use it as a cuss word.
Amen.
Don't use it as a byword.
Amen.
Don't say it lightly. You're very foolish if you do.
Amen.
Because God will not hold you guiltless. You're going to lose out.
Amen.
If you don't honor that name. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess.
Amen.
That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When they believe Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Well, it doesn't tell you what name they were baptized in, does it? We'll go down to verse 16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What should baptism be in? The name of Jesus. Well, look at Acts 19. By the way, there's quite a few more. I don't have time and didn't want to. All I need is an example. If you'll study it out, you'll find out that's true. Okay, look at Acts 19, verse 3. He came upon these disciples, and they'd been baptized. And he said, well, you don't have the Holy Spirit. There's some things you're missing. What were you baptized unto? Look at verse 3. Unto what then were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism. You got a preacher going out. He's still going. He hadn't heard about the Jesus. Hadn't heard about the fulfillment of John's prophecies. He's going out preaching and baptizing the same baptism that John did to start the whole thing in the beginning of the gospel. Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Jesus, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. How important is that name? Well, it's the name you ought to be baptized in.
Amen.
And by the way, that's exactly fulfilling what Christ told him to do. Go and teach him and baptize him in the name singular of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Bible's pretty clear on it. You know, some people gather around a denominational name. Some of them have great tradition. And men take a great deal of pride in their tradition, their background, what's been done before because of them. You'd have to thank the Lord for the Methodist circuit riding preachers who covered this country with the gospel. They were gutsy men. They were bold. They believed the word and they went out and preached the word. And because of it, an awful lot of people got saved. But my Bible tells you something. In Matthew 18, verse 20. Interesting verse. It caught my attention over and over again as I read through the Bible. For two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. How many people do you have to have church? Two or three?
Amen.
Two or three. You don't have to have this great mega church. You don't have to have parties and horses to ride and pictures to take and games to play and bowling on nights so you can build a big church. You don't have to get in competition with some other neighbor church to see who can get the most kids in Sunday school. You don't have to put dollars or $5 or $10 under some bus seat somewhere so the kids will hope they sit in that seat and they get it. There's a lot of things going on in the name of Jesus Christ and in the name of the service to God that have no business going on in a church of the living God. Has nothing to do with the Bible. Has nothing to do with salvation of anybody. I am thankful for every kid that played on a church baseball team because he went to Sunday school two times that month that got saved. And some of them do. Praise God. It doesn't mean it ought to be done. You know, one of the problems they had in China when they first went there as missionaries, they gave them a lot of stuff. These are poor people. They're preaching to very poor people. I was preaching to very poor people in Guatemala. 7 out of 10 of them didn't have shoes. They all some of the poor people I was with, they had dirt floors. Didn't even have a board floor. Their flowers around their houses were cactus. Well, so I go down there and give them shoes and give them clothes and give them medicine and give them a whole lot of things. Well, naturally they're going to come. You're going to treat me for free? You're going to give me all these things? You're going to make me rich? Well, you gather a crowd, but then that crowd won't last. If your money ever stops, it won't last. An awful lot of mission work is done with American money. It pays the pastors. It rents the buildings. It does all sorts of. They give away free clothes. Come up here and take them down by the truckload. What happens when American money fails? Then your church is going to fall flat on its face. Our missionaries don't give anything away. You say, oh, you're just so cold in your riches. No. We want Mexicans to follow Jesus, not American money. We want Polish people to follow Jesus, not American money.
Amen.
If they're not serving Jesus because they love Him and they want to follow the Word of God, then you're wasting your time. And it comes out a complete waste. I praise God. Our missionaries, I'm so proud of all of them. They preach the Word of God. They tell it straight. And they build churches. And those churches can last when the missionary moves. Those churches are there going on right now, 20-something of them in Mexico. And others, not because American money is being flowed into it, because it's not. They gathered in the name of Jesus. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There's another very important verse over in Colossians 3:17. I guess it's one of the best verses that ever really changed my mind after I got saved. I kept reading this and I kept realizing how much I was failing in it. And I knew what it would cost me. It would cost me 50,000 churches to preach in. Look at this verse. Whatsoever you do, not just gathering, preaching, baptizing, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, well, it's getting pretty specific, isn't it? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him.
Amen.
Whatsoever you do.
Amen.
Don't go around bragging on the church. The church does not need to be bragged on. It might lift us up in pride. And God hates pride in, and especially pride in His own children. The church isn't the thing. The building isn't the thing. The numbers isn't the thing. It's Jesus. We ought to be lifting up Jesus.
Amen.
You in your life ought to be lifting up Jesus.
Amen.
Don't lift up the pastors. Don't lift up the missionaries. Don't lift up the church. Don't lift up a lot of things. Lift up Jesus. When you lift up Jesus, you lift everything. And you follow the Word. What a tremendous sentence. Whatsoever you do. Whatsoever you do. Why are you doing it? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, they gathered in the name of Jesus. And then turn with me to John 20, verses 30 and 31. Many times I've been asked the last 57 years, where should I start reading the Bible? Well, if you're not used to the Bible and you've never read the Bible and you're very new to even Christianity, I'd start in the Gospel of John. That's the fourth gospel in the New Testament. I would start reading in the Gospel of John. Why? Well, look what this says. John tells you why he wrote the book. Verse 30 of chapter 20 of the Gospel of John. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. He said, I could have written a lot more. They're not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name.
Amen.
Why did I write the book? I chose certain instances in the life of Jesus Christ and I wrote about them. I made it plain. And my purpose was that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ and you'd have life in his name.
Thank you, Lord.
That's his purpose.
Amen.
So I tell people, read the book. Don't just read it once, read it four or five times. Don't just read it that way. Read it 100 times if you have to. Read it over and over and over and over and over again so that it finally soak into your thick skull.
Yes, amen.
Jesus is the only Savior.
Amen.
Jesus is the only way. Jesus himself said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You talk about exclusive. I don't know how the ecumenical system works out in there. It's just Jesus alone. It's not everybody. It's not every religion. It's not all roads lead to Rome and all religions lead to heaven. Jesus is the only name Amen. That's going to be honored in that day, and you better have that name. If you don't have it, you don't have anything. You cannot have enough works. You cannot have given enough money. You cannot have prayed enough prayers to cover all the sins since you were a little baby crying and frustrating your mother. And you didn't need a thing. You just wanted mama to jump at your beck and call. You see, there's sin in us when we start coming in here. And it's right there. And kids, you can teach kids, but you got to teach them to be unselfish. You have to teach them. I had a sort of a saying, we don't put up with incompatibility in my family. We were going to get along, or I was going to know why. And I did a few times. I knew why. And I've got a wonderful family. I thank God for my family. What a blessing. These are written. You might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believe you might have life through his name. There's another book I advise people to read. I think you ought to really know the Gospel of John, and I think you ought to really know the Book of Romans. Romans is a book Paul was writing to show you salvation. He goes from every direction in it. And he comes down to what is a beautiful conclusion. It's in the 10th chapter of the Book of Romans. I'll just start at the last part of verse 8. The last line of verse 8, that is the word of faith which we preach. What is the word of faith which we preach? Which I'm going to tell you. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that sounds like it's allowed. That sounds like it's open. That sounds like other people can hear you. We don't want any secret believers in Jesus. We don't believe much in secret believers in Jesus. If you say live for Jesus Christ, stand up and say so.
Amen.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
See, a lot of people had a problem with the resurrection. And what the apostles did was go around the world till their death preaching, Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. He is alive. He's not in the grave anywhere. He's alive. He's resurrected. Thou shalt be saved. Look at verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's a believe and confess. It's a repent and believe. It's recognizing that name has power with God.
Amen.
For the scripture which saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Boy, you ought to believe that. You ought to try it. Why don't you try that? The same Lord, above all, he's rich to all that call upon him. Look at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
57 years ago and a little, I put my name there. For if Lendell Kincaid shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. And I called on the name of the Lord. And I confessed my sin. I confessed I was a sinner deserving hell. I confessed I didn't have anything to offer God. Just me. And I wasn't much. But he saved me. He changed me. He made me think different. He got into my mind. He put a love for this book in my hands. I traded my Camel cigarettes out for a New Testament, and I went on a quit smoking attitude. I've been smoking 16 years, and I quit when I was 21. I started at 5. I smoked all through the years I played football. Smoked while I was playing football. Whosoever shall call. You know what? I can walk into the jail out here, the prison out here, off of 1604. And I can walk in there to anybody in that place. And I can make them a legitimate offer. If you will believe that Jesus died in your place. If you will believe he paid the debt of your sins. And you will repent of your sins and call on Jesus right now. He'll save your soul forever. He may not get you out of jail. See, being forgiven doesn't mean you lose the consequences. If while I'm driving drunk, my left arm gets cut off, I repent of my sins, my left arm doesn't grow back. And it's the same way with a lot of things in our life. Maybe you've made a mess up till now. Doesn't matter if you've made a mess up until now.
Amen.
God can turn your life around and make something good out of it in the future. Amen.
Lord Jesus. Amen.
I've got a wonderful promise. Could you put your name in there today?
Amen.
You ought to.
Amen.
You ought to. It says, whosoever. Who's that?
Amen.
It's if you'll call, it's you. It's responding to the Spirit of God touching your heart. Every time I preach this word, I expect the Holy Spirit to take it and touch somebody I'm preaching to. Every time. I don't get up with any throwaway sermons. You may think some of them are pretty bad and you don't want them. You want to throw them away, but I don't start with any throwaway sermons. Every one I preach, I'm looking to touch you. I'm looking for somebody to say, that's right. I'm looking for somebody's heart to say, this is the will of God. This is the way to go. I want my life to count for something. I want it to count for lifting up the name of Jesus Christ as best I can.
Amen.
That's my job. That's what I seek to do. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Do you believe what I've said so far?
Amen.
Do you believe Jesus Christ is that one name, that glorious name,
Amen.
That wonderful name that gets answers to prayer, that
Amen.
Changes lives, that'll lift your spirits,
Amen.
That'll get you into heaven,
Amen.
That'll get your sins forgiven?
Amen.
Well, if you believe it, act on it. Now, Christian friend, you're not so successful right now. Your Christianity's lost a little of its glow. Things are a little dull.
Amen.
You're looking back at the world. What you need is repent of your sins and Amen. Call on Jesus.
Amen.
You see, I didn't just repent one time. I've been continuously repenting for 57 years. When I get down and start talking to God about my sons being in the hospital, about them being blinded, or about them being dumb and crippled. And they've been there, and I've been there praying for them. I confess my sins. I confess how little I love God. I confess how little I love other people. I confess all of my pride. I confess my lust. I confess my... I started a life of repentance. I repent all the time. Sometimes I repent while I'm preaching. I repent about saying what I just said. You ever do that? Well, I preach extemporaneous. I have a little note so I don't forget the verses. But I sometimes say things I don't want to say. I get my tongue all tangled up. I wrap my tongue around my eye teeth and you can't see what I'm saying. It's a life of repentance. You just keep repenting. Don't get so proud you don't think you have anything
Amen.
To repent of. You're not that good. Hey, I've met a lot of people. I've met a lot of people in my 57 years. You're not that good. Everybody I know is a sinner. You may be sinning by being so proud of not being a sinner.
Amen.
And there's 1,000 other ways that can go. Why don't you call on the Lord today? Why don't you call on the Lord? If you're saved, call on the Lord and ask Him to forgive you for your stupidity, for your ignorance, for your laziness, for your selfishness. For your pride.
Amen.
As a little old lady once told me when I preached on pride and said I had to confess my pride, she says, well, Brother Lindell, I don't know what you got to be proud of. And I laughed and I said, that's the best put down I've heard in a long time. She said, oh, Brother Lindell, I wasn't trying to make it a put down. Are you saved? Do you know right now that if you walk out this door and a drunk hits you and you just go out into eternity, that you belong to Jesus Christ, that he's forgiven your sin, that he saved your soul, that he's changed your life, and that you're going to heaven to be with him forever? The preacher might say nice things at your funeral, but that might not get you into heaven. Why don't you call on the Lord? Why don't you repent towards life? Why don't you repent so you can have life? What name is that? Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is the name.
Amen.